Welcome to Level 7, a podcast about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's a magical place.
Hello, welcome to Level 7. Doesn't sound as good when you have the two welcomes together. This is episode number, I don't know. This is coming from the far reaches of space, from the edges of the galaxy. And we're broadcasting this transmission from Andromeda to the Milky Way, to your ears. I'm Ben Avery, a comic book writer, comic book fan, and fan of Marvel Cinematic Universe and the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, which is why I'm here to talk about it on a podcast. And I've been joined by
Daniel Butcher, fan of potato salad.
Oh, you just dated the episode, man.
Well, I'm sorry. I love potato salad.
Please tell me you didn't.
You don't love potato salad?
I'm not saying I don't love potato salad, although I hate potato salad.
You do hate potato salad?
I do hate potato salad, but we're not here to talk about weird Kickstarters that make me mad when I see other Kickstarters fail that shouldn't have. We're not here to talk about that.
Potato salad is good, though.
No, it's not. But that's a whole other issue for another
All
day.
Right.
That's for our potato salad point counterpoint podcast that we are starting.
But yeah, I'm a Marvel fan. Disney fan. Occasional lacrosse coach that gets rained on.
And did you mention your name? I can't remember.
I am Daniel Butcher.
There we go. That's what I'm waiting for. So I'm waiting for it because I don't remember if you said it. But hey, we are here. It's summer, but we are here to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy as kind of a getting ready for and being excited about the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I'm excited about it.
Think,
are you?
I think at some point you even have a story about how this excitement started, because it's been a while. We've been messaging back and forth. You've been sending me messages that say, this is crazy good. This is crazy good.
Yeah, yeah. That's and a whole that's a thing we're going to get to. It is a thing because it was crazy good. It was so good.
It's a
good
thing.
And I'm not talking about the 17-minute preview at IMAX theaters that...
Neither one. Hey, you know what? I could have gone.
You could have?
Rain came down, down, down. But I didn't know that 2 weeks ago when they put out the invites.
Well, here's the thing. I would love to have gone. And if it was close, I would have gone. I don't feel bad that I didn't go. But there are people out there right now who are posting on Facebook about how they saw 17 minutes of the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And they said it's incredibly awesome. So I am, yes, a little bit jealous, but I don't feel bad because...
But hey,
I'm not saying this to say... I'm not saying this, Daniel, to say the people who saw it had it ruined for them. I'm just saying it to say I feel better about it because I'll be able to go in fresh and having, you know, seen nothing except for the trailers.
Hey, when you sit down, you're going to get 121 minutes. And that's better than 17.
Right, but I'm not saying it to say, oh, the people who went, they aren't going to be pure or whatever. No, it's awesome that they got to go. This is just me trying to make myself feel better. That's all.
And you're a handsome man.
Some people might think that.
High five!
Namely, my wife and my daughters.
You know what, buddy?
Yeah?
Let's just get into the intelligence report.
Yeah, because we have a couple things. You know, all of this is kind of coming from last Wednesday. And... Yes. We're going to get to why are we talking about Guardians of the Galaxy instead of Incredible Hulk, which we promised Incredible Hulk, which is coming.
Okay? Oh, it's coming.
It is coming.
I have watched so much TV lately.
I have watched more Incredible Hulk in the last 2 weeks, possibly, than I have in the last – well, no, definitely in the last 20 years.
Hey, I'm just going to say this now before we get into it.
Mm-hmm.
We did get some comments that said, when I opened up the pilot – got that montage at the beginning. I turned it off because I didn't know who those people were. I didn't care.
Yeah.
Just get past the montage. Get past it. Learn who they are. Nobody knew who those people were.
That's true. I mean, that's what a pilot episode is for. I understand. I do. I understand what they're saying because, yeah, it's not the perfect pilot. But that's for next episode when we actually talk about the Incredible Hulk and the Incredible Hulk TV show. We're talking about something else that got me really excited
unless
last Wednesday.
Unless we replace it with something else.
What?
Unless we replace it with something else, like this time.
There's possibilities. There's always possibilities.
Shield Intelligence Report.
All right, let's talk about a couple different news items, Daniel.
Let's do it. Hey, let's go with the big screen first.
Big screen news item. Okay. The circus is coming to town. I think that's what you said on Facebook.
That is exactly what I said when I posted it.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy Serkis is doing some motion capture for Avengers 2 Age of Ultron.
Now, we did know that he was consulting because he was consulting on Hulk.
He's consulting on everything. Yeah. He consulted on Godzilla. He's a
genius when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
played
in Star Wars. He's playing a role, which may or may not be motion capture. Nobody knows.
Because he does things outside of motion capture, too. That's the thing, is he's not just a motion capture artist. He's a true artist. He does it all.
So he is coming to Age of Ultron. I think we're both happy with that.
And I think the primary thing that people are saying is that he's probably doing motion capture for Ultron. I'm hearing a lot of people thinking that, but I'm wondering if this is not like he's going to be doing motion capture for some of the, you know, like little minions or underlings or something. Ultronics or something. I don't know.
Ooh, Ultronics. Very nice. Hey, I've also heard some other rumors.
What's that?
Well, I guess one of them is semi-rumor. Somebody's got some set report pictures, and what do we see there but a legacy on
This is something we should have talked about last episode. We had seen it before last episode, and for some reason we forgot to do it. So who do they see, Daniel?
Handsome man, BJ Britt.
Yes.
The Agent Triplett. Our Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. There.
It is quite possible. Yeah. That we are looking at some of our small screen characters. I'm going to say we could be seeing more than just Triplett. I mean, the possibilities are there. And originally, when I was hearing this, I thought to myself, you know what? This is just proof positive that Coulson's going to show up in Avengers 2 and reveal himself, even though they told us he's not. But since then, they've told us he's not.
And every time they tell you no, you think yes, don't you, Ben?
Well, whenever they tell me no, I think yes. But then they told me no again, so then I think probably yes.
Yeah. Hey, you know what else I noticed when I went over to IMDb?
What?
Maria Hill.
Wait, what? Okay. So that's another S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
You know who else I noticed?
I think I do.
Well, go ahead and say it.
Don Cheadle.
War Machine.
Don Cheadle. Yeah, that's the one we're talking about.
Yeah,
not the one that I can't remember anymore. He's just gone. He's lost from my memory.
He's gone. Robert doesn't call him anymore.
Poor guy. I do feel bad about some of that. I like Don Cheadle a lot, but I do feel bad about the situation that brought him in. But anyway, as far as seeing Coulson in Avengers 2, they're still saying no. You're not going to see him in Avengers 2. I still say it's a possibility. And I do think we kind of had a little one line from our TV show where Sif says to Coulson, "Oh, Thor will be glad to know that you're okay." And Coulson says to Sif, "I'd like to tell him myself, thank you." That suggests to me it's going to happen in Avengers Age of Ultron. But that suggests to me. It's a suggestion, and it's me. So they keep saying no. I keep saying yes. They have a little more power than I do. So, yeah. What do you think, Daniel? Coulson, Age of Ultron, yes or no?
Nope. Avengers 3, Civil War.
You think so?
Yep.
That should be our new poll.
Well, there you go.
We need a new poll. We've got a really old one on there right now.
Throw in Ant-Man.
Oh yeah!
Come on, there's more than two. There's more movies than the Avengers.
I think we're just going to stick with those two.
Fine.
The question is going to be: will Agent Coulson, or no, which Avengers movie will Agent Coulson show up in? And answer number one is Avengers 2. Well, it's not Avengers 2, is it? It's just Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yep.
Or Avengers 3.
Ben and Daniel's Excellent Vacation.
Adpool. You know what? I have a question, though. Are we seeing a new trend? I might have even said this last episode, but I don't think I did. I think I said it in Transformers episode. Everything has been darkness. Star Trek Into Darkness. Transformers, Dark of the Moon. The Dark Knight. Everything's dark, 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 dark. Are we entering a new trend with Age of Ultron? X-Men, Age of Apocalypse.
We've already had our dark book. Oh, okay. I gotcha.
What's the next age one? There's another age.
Star
sequel.
Wars Episode 7, Age of the Sith.
Age of the Sith. Yeah. No, there's a third age movie coming out.
Are you talking about Superman 3, Age of Krypton?
No. There is a third age of movie though.
Are you thinking of Arrow Season 3, Age of the Arrow?
No. I've just lost it, and so Age of Extinction. That's what it was. It was the Transformers movie.
Ugh.
Age of Ultron, Age of Extinction, Age of Apocalypse. Is this the new trend? Since everything was so dark and now we're moving into ages. I don't know.
I got nothing, man. Got nothing.
Okay, well, go to our website, welcometolevel7.com, and when you go to that website, you can find our poll. It's right there. You heard it in real time. Go up. There's only two answers possible. Right underneath that, there is a strange picture of a duck with a cigar coming out of an egg, where I think if you click on that, it takes you to our Howard the Duck commentary bonus episode. I'm not bringing it up to tell you and explain to you what it is, because you can just go there and find out, but I am bringing it up because of something we have to do, Daniel. And you know what that something is?
A shout out.
Yes, two shout outs, actually. One is a shout out to Agent Lisa, and the other is a shout out to Agent Michael. And both of them, by the way, Agent Michael did say I was doing okay with his name, so that's a good thing to hear. Both of them gave to the Howard the Duck commentary bonus episode donation fund thing. I don't know what you would call it. At the wah level. Now, the wah level, it gets you four shout-outs in four episodes. These are sponsorship levels, I guess, that you'd call them that. That's the $50 level. Now, you can use PayPal and stuff like that. But honestly, I'm saying Agent Lisa, Agent Michael, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very, very, very much. You are sponsoring this Guardians of the Galaxy episode along with the previous episodes, and we really appreciate it. I know we lost count, and we weren't sure if we brought it up in one episode, so we do apologize for that. So, Agent Lisa, it's possible you've gotten four shout-outs, but it's more than likely you've gotten five.
That's value.
Well, when I want to correct a mistake and it involves someone else, I would prefer to overcorrect than to undercorrect.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So, Agent Lisa, Agent Michael, thank you so very much. Words can't express how much we appreciate it, but I just tried by saying so very much. So,
again, thank you very much.
Yeah. So, this episode brought to you by Agent Lisa and Agent Michael. Shout out. That was kind of stupid. Sorry.
Hey!
Okay. And let's move on. Okay.
Let's do our next piece of news from the small screen.
Okay.
Do you want to ride a Lexus?
Okay.
You don't. You were going to write a review.
I'm going to.
Why?
Well, I'm trying to decide. Well, here's the thing. The reason I haven't written a review yet is I'm trying to decide if I'm going to wait until the actual book comes out, because I believe this is just a preview.
We got to get a hold of that book. This was just a preview, these opening pages. So what Ben is talking about is the dream has finally arrived. Thank you, Lexus, for giving us Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The Chase, number one.
You know what they say, Daniel? They say, be careful what you ask for.
Because if you ask for it enough times, you'll have to go to Comic-Con and pick it up.
I don't know. When is this because supposed to come out? Full version is available on the 24th, is what they say. But this is a comic book.
But aren't they giving it out at Comic-Con?
I don't know.
I think this is a Comic-Con giveaway.
Maybe.
Now what we're talking about is we've seen the first 8-9 pages in Marvel Unlimited. We've both seen it there. We've both read it.
Yeah, okay. This is a comic book. It's titled Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. In the Chase.
It's our team. It's Coulson, May, Sky, Fitz, Simmons, Ward. It is set after the little tornado hurricane storm that occurred at the Academy.
Right. And so at this point in the episode or in the TV show is they don't know anything about what's going on as far as who is crisscrossing who or double crossing who or whatever. They don't know anything about Captain America, Winter Soldier, all that stuff. And they throw you right in the middle of a chase. I mean, that's where you start out.
They're going after Quinn.
Them jumping into their, you know, Lexus.
Lexus.
Being chased by Jeeps. And then they're going to go after Quinn. And what are they going to use to go after him? In France, they got two other Lexi. Whatever.
Dude, this is not a Transformer Age of Extinction Bud Light situation here.
No, and here's the thing. I don't...
The Lexus are used fine. Lexus paid for the book. If I have to have Lexus in these pages in order to get me my book, you know that's a sacrifice that I was willing to make.
Well, and as far as the actual artwork goes, we only see the Lexus icon on the front of the grill of the vehicle. I think it's just one on that one, and we see it on the other two vehicles once, so that's we only see the branding of the Lexus three times. And they try and tell a story with it, which I appreciate that they're trying to tell a story with it. Now they're telling a story with, I think, a couple different artists doing it, but
is that the problem?
I have to be careful, you know, because this is my industry.
So can I not be careful?
And so I'm going to throw one thing out there. This is something that writers do, and I have been guilty of this in the past with projects that I've been working on as far as referencing things in the universe that you are working within. Okay? And that's happening. This story is a little, there's parts of it that are just too cute. Let's put it that way. Where they're trying to reference and foreshadow things that we know about now that they didn't know about storyline-wise yet. You know, John Garrett shows up and says, if I wasn't so deep undercover, I would have done some stuff myself. And I'm just like...
Oh, that Johnny Garrett.
Well, I'm just thinking, wait a minute. It doesn't... He's just there to have John Garrett there, you know?
And he's literally only there to be there. Now, again, we do know that Garrett's after Quinn at this point. That's what Coulson's been told, at least. So it does make some sense that he would be concerned. But again, he's just there for a frame.
And he's just there to deliver a couple lines of dialogue that you're like, ooh, I know the truth of what is behind what he's saying. And good drama comes from the audience knowing more than the characters. Some of the best drama comes from that. When you know, oh, that guy that he's talking to, that he's being kind and seems like he's a good guy, but maybe he's not. You know, and so the other guy is like, you're in danger. And that's where you start to feel, you know, in a slasher movie, you see the guys down the hall behind the main character, but the main character hasn't turned around, and you know more than that main character knows. And so that drama comes from that. But this feels cute. This feels like it's trying a little bit too hard. And then there's another line that has to do with a character on our team. I'm just like, that doesn't even make any sense. It doesn't even make any sense there. So I don't want to be critical. However, because this is my show. I like this show, but it's also my industry. But I have some problems with the writing and the artwork here. So Daniel, are you going to be less...
No, I may be more critical.
I'm okay. That's what I'm expecting.
Heroes fan. I read that comic online every week.
I read it too. I liked that. That was good stuff.
It was a great comic. I own the two collections. I'm dying for a third so that we could get them all. It had one of my favorite storylines is the Wireless storyline. And it was pretty much only done in the comics. Wireless was only on the show like once or twice for like brief segments. And you had no idea who she was unless you were reading that comic. Now, it wasn't the best written thing ever. I mean, they were 4 or 5 page comics, which I'm guessing, Ben, is a challenge and a half as a writer.
It's a challenge I enjoy, though. Like doing short comics. It's fun.
So they weren't – you couldn't necessarily be that complex all the time because – you had to fill 4 or 5 pages.
You have to be punchy.
Yeah.
You have to be punchy.
I got 10 pages here. The story is, it's an introduction. Introductions usually, oftentimes in comics, are pretty hard to get into because you got to do some setup. Now, you probably have to do some less setup with our team because, let's be honest, we've already met them.
Well, and this, you're only getting half of the story.
But I am really, really, really willing to be forgiving. Okay.
Okay.
I am. Now, here's my problem. Why does Fitz look like he's been lifting weights? Why is he big?
Well,
why does Coulson look like he's been on steroids? And why is he so ugly? I mean, I get Coulson every month in Secret Avengers. Okay, I get Coulson at least every other month in Secret Avengers. And he mostly looks like the cover that's on the Coulson of this comic. That's the model right there. That's the Coulson model. But I go inside, and I have to have the comic tell me who Coulson is.
Daniel, it's a problem.
And I'm not even talking about the characters that don't even look the proper... Fitz isn't the only one who looks wrong.
Now, okay, so when we're talking about this kind of thing, though, a tie-in to a live-action thing, part of that problem sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, is licensing. This is why when you read... This is why when you read certain characters in certain comic books on the in the artwork, they're not allowed to use the model of the actual actor. So I'm going to throw out an example that no one's going to care about and no one's going to know about. Some people are going to be like, I didn't even know they made that movie. Some people are going to be like, I didn't know they made a comic book about that movie. But the adaptation of 2010, the year we made Contact, that Marvel Comics did, they did not have permission to use... Oh, now I can't remember his name. He was in Jaws and Sequest.
Roy Schneider.
Okay. Well, they weren't able to use his likeness for anything because of his contract. And so when they drew the comic, they couldn't use him. They had to use someone else as a model, if they used a model at all. Okay. This is the thing, though. Marvel is working with Marvel to make a Marvel comic about a Marvel TV show. I'm pretty sure they have permission to use the likeness.
They got him on the cover!
So, I'm just saying that sometimes that's what happens. Unfortunately, that's not what happened here. It's not at all what happened here.
It's on the cover!
I know.
It's the right model on the cover. But none of these characters inside, again, it's the first artist, none of them look like them.
Yeah.
None of them. I'm sorry. They don't.
Don't apologize.
You have to have the boxes tell you who they are.
Don't apologize. It's okay.
They don't look right.
You're right.
All I've asked for is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic book in which the Coulson depicted on the page is Clark Gregg driven and looks like Clark Gregg. That's all I've ever asked for. And maybe really good burritos. But that's it.
Okay.
And occasionally I need a blanket. But that's the line. And I think I did ask for a caning to be added to Captain America, the First Avenger, over the weekend. But come on! Can I have any more?
I'm not quite sure where to go from here.
Maybe a decent Iron Man 3.
Okay.
A Transformers movie I can take my kids to.
Well, we got you a decent Iron Man 3. So there's you got that much.
Yeah, whatever.
What?
Yeah, you know what? You could say it. I am a hot mess over this. You sent me you read it first, and you sent me a message that basically hinted to the fact that I wouldn't like it. And then I opened it up, and I read it. Oh, my Lord. I'm sorry. Page 7. Coulson is so ugly.
Okay, we're going to stop there. We're going to stop there. This is not the comic book we were looking for or hoping for. This is a...
He looks like he's a 50-year-old steroid...
This is a Lexus commercial. Let's not, because that's the other thing. They're not just meeting with story people.
Lexus paid for something that was to be good,
but probably Lexus was also involved in creating the story.
I don't.
No, I mean this one was written
here,
by.
I'll give it this. I have read a comic that I got for free that was a sales pitch for cars. That was not this. This is better than that. Okay. Because this does not make the cars the focal point. They're there. They're in the background.
Okay.
They're not on every page.
All right. Daniel, I think we need to stop here. Because I'm willing for us to, you know, not be positive and praise everything that has Marvel's a label on it. But I think we should talk about some stuff that we're going to have more fun talking about and not get... Not get hot under the collar, so to speak.
I am definitely a hot mess over this. Because, you know, I only have asked for like 7 things.
I'm not sure why you're asking Marvel for a blanket.
Well,
or are these just the 7 things in life you've asked for?
Just in life, you know.
Okay, all right.
I have a lot of my needs filled, so.
Okay, well, that said... Is there any other news? I don't think there is.
Oh, what the bad. All right.
Yeah.
All
let's
right.
move on. Let's have some fun. Let's talk about stuff that we're enjoying. Not that we're enjoying everything. Not that this is all perfect stuff that we're going to be talking about. But boy, oh boy, did I have a fun week this week because of Wednesday. So are you ready? Let's get into our mission report.
Mission report.
Daniel.
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Whoa, Wednesday.
New comic day.
Tell me about it, buddy. I got a pull list now.
You got a pull list? I don't know what that...
I got a pull list.
Okay.
That's the only
I know what it is. I didn't know that you didn't have one.
I didn't have one. A pull list, folks, is when you go down to your local comic book shop and they already pre-pull some stuff for you. That's the only way I can get Marvel's hottest new comic.
You walk in, they hand you the comic.
Exactly.
You know, especially if they are a good comic shop that takes the time to find out who you are after a couple weeks and that kind of thing.
And I don't want a second printing. I need the first printing of the hottest comic Marvel has right now.
And what is the hottest comic Marvel has right now?
Figment.
Ah, the Disney comic.
Yeah.
Is that out?
It is.
I didn't
issue
know
2 last week. That was Wednesday. Isn't that what we're talking about?
No. No.
Oh. Well,
Daniel,
what else did I get? I got Original Sin. Ooh. Oh, man.
There's some pretty impressive S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff going on in that book.
Man, there's like a whole secret history of S.H.I.E.L.D. in Original Sin number 5.
Oh, my goodness.
Probably will be, in fact, it will be posted before you hear this episode, fans.
You were telling me about some stuff, and so I took a look, and there was some big S.H.I.E.L.D. revelations in the comic book Marvel Universe.
Dude, Howard Stark, man. Woo!
So...
Woo. And then, of course, Aquaman and the others.
Yes, which I'm waiting for the trade on all of those.
No. Yeah, you know.
But I am buying some monthly books. I'm actually buying 2 monthly books. And I didn't get either of them on Wednesday.
Oh.
But I still got 4 things on Wednesday.
In fact, you put up a picture.
All 4 of them. Oh, no, never mind. 3 of the 4 had... the Guardians of the Galaxy logo on it. The other one should have. I don't know why he didn't have that logo on his book. But 3 comics, 1 novel, Guardians of the Galaxy. So we have the legendary Star-Lord number 1,
We had Rocket Raccoon number one, and we had Guardians of the Galaxy, Galaxy's Most Wanted, starring Rocket Raccoon and Groot. That's a one shot. And then there was Guardians of the Galaxy, Rocket Raccoon and Groot Steal the Galaxy, the novel. And this is a Marvel novel that they've been doing these novels adapting famous storylines. There was a Civil War one, which I didn't read the book, but I listened to the audio adaptation, which was pretty incredible. And then there was the Captain America, Death of Captain America. Spoiler, Captain America dies in it.
Sorry. What?
Yeah. And they did a Days of Future Past novel, and they're doing a Kraven's Last Hunt Spider-Man one.
Mm.
So it's interesting because these are not original. And this is, they say, it's an original novel of the Marvel Universe. So this is not based on anything that you've already read in comic book form. And it stars Rocket Raccoon and Groot. And this is the book that I kept telling Daniel, this is so good. I'm having so much fun reading this book, and I was not expecting that. Because
so I went out to try to buy it.
Yeah.
Because I want it, you know, in electronic form.
Not available yet. Larry Hama wrote the Captain America, Death of Captain America book. Larry Hama is famous for writing G.I. Joe and Wolverine and many, many other things. He's known as a great writer of comic books. But I read the novel, and while it told the story, and it was a good pulpy read, unfortunately, it changed voices, and it just, I didn't like the tense changes and the point of view changes and stuff like that. It just felt like it just didn't mesh together very well for me. So while it told a story that I had not read before in comic book form, it didn't get me excited. I was going to write a review. That's the reason I bought it in the first place, was to write a review for the website. And because I wasn't excited about it, I didn't write a review. Guardians of the Galaxy, I could not wait to open this book again. And, man. Okay, so we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. How do we want to... This episode of Guardians of the Galaxy that is sponsored by Agent Lisa and Agent Michael, I might add. How do you want to start here, Daniel? Do you want to just jump into this novel and kind of talk about that? Or?
Well, I get the sense, right at the moment, Marvel's doing things right with Guardians of the Galaxy. There's a lot of interest in Guardians. People are looking at the trailer and getting excited. The only person that I know who's not overly excited about Guardians of the Galaxy is Mrs. Butcher, who said about Rocket Raccoon over the weekend that Marvel had jumped the Jar Jar.
I don't even know what she means.
Well, I think she just replaced Jump the Shark with, you know, the shark becomes Jar Jar.
I understand the reference, but I don't know what she means.
I don't think she liked Jar Jar. We've never really talked about it.
Okay, so is she saying she doesn't like Rocket Raccoon?
She does not like Rocket Raccoon.
Where does this come from?
The fact that it's weird to see a raccoon with a gun. It freaks her out a little bit.
Okay.
You know, we're from the Midwest. You really don't want to arm your raccoons. You don't want them shooting back.
No. No.
So I mean, but there's a lot of excitement about it. And one of the axioms about comic books in movies is the comics really don't bring people to the movies, but the movies do sell comic books.
Yes, for a time. It's not real noticeable in the grand scheme of things.
So we had the Prelude comics.
Yes, there were two Prelude comics, which will be coming out in a graphic novel that will have those two comics and some backup stories that'll be old stories from the early days, so to speak, of those characters.
As everyone knows, we're not always overly excited about the Prelude comics, but with these, they were pretty good. Agreed.
They were enjoyable.
I mean, you even wrote comic files about them. Your comic file actually got me to go out and read Prelude number one.
Yeah. My comic reviews tend to be these tie-in comics, and both of them I enjoyed a lot. So I do recommend the graphic novel that'll be $12. It'll have a bunch of old stories in it too.
And ironically enough, we also thought that it would give us some information that'll help us as we get closer to the movie.
Yep.
Yep. Like, somebody's around.
Right.
So here we are. We're a month before the release of the movie. Bunches of people are talking about it. And on one Wednesday, they dump all this stuff at the same time.
And it's enjoyable stuff.
And you bought it all.
I did. I did. And I wasn't expecting to. But then I thought, wow, wait. Oh, there's that too. Oh. It was the novel was the big surprise. The other the comics, I was like, oh, I'm going to contact my store and make sure they put these aside for me. And I get in there, and I sent them an email about, I think it was Star-Lord and Rocket Raccoon. And then I found out, oh, there's a one-shot too with Groot and Rocket Raccoon. And then I get there, and I see the novel on the shelf. And I was just like, well, it's Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm excited. Let's go ahead and get it. But, man. So let's talk about some of these characters?
Let's baseline, though. Before that Wednesday.
Yeah.
There was one Guardians of the Galaxy title out there.
Yes.
Which is the Bendis title.
Yeah.
Well, a monthly, which is the Bendis title.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've read the first two trades of that.
And I've read every issue of that.
Okay. And so up to the first two trades, I thought the first issue was questionable, like a first issue often is.
Mm-hmm.
I found the preceding issues to be enjoyable. But I'll be honest, by the time I got into the second trade, they introduced this character, Angela, who's tied to Neil Gaiman. And I had no idea why she was being used there. And I kept looking at some of these character models and thinking to myself, Star-Lord needs to be a little less High School Musical and a little bit more Han Solo. Because I felt like he was de-aging in front of me. Like, he was getting younger and younger and prettier, instead of being a little rougher.
I guess I could see that.
And I just found the story okay. So when your Wednesday came out, again, I was only looking for Original Sin because I was pretty excited about number 5. I haven't read any of these.
Yeah. So. Now, with the Guardians of the Galaxy comic book, I have a problem with it. It's not a great introduction, I think, to the Guardians of the Galaxy. And new readers coming in might even find it a little difficult to get into. The other thing is, it's pretty choppy. And there are things in that book that unfortunately are referencing other things that are going around in the Marvel Universe in the big crossovers and stuff. There's a whole chunk of story that I think I missed out on that had to do with the characters from the Guardians of the Galaxy. But as you're reading along, it's like all of a sudden they're here, next issue they're there, and a whole bunch of stuff has happened that they're referencing and talking about. And so the Guardians of the Galaxy comic book monthly, I don't recommend necessarily, especially to new readers. I will give one caveat, though, and that is I don't know where this falls as far as I think this is meant to be like volume 3. But The Trial of Jean Grey, that is a fantastic arc because it has nothing to do with all these other big things that are going on around in the universe. However, it's fantastic because those are the two monthly comic books that I'm reading. Guardians of the Galaxy, Trial of Jean Grey is a crossover with all new X-Men. And so while I recommend that story arc, it's not going to make a lot of sense unless you're reading both series. But it is a fantastic one because it gets into a whole bunch of time travel shenanigans that would happen because the whole concept behind all new X-Men is that the 5 original X-Men have been pulled from the 60s, from the past, to today. And they're looking around. And since I don't know what's going on in the Marvel Universe, I love this book because these guys have no idea what's going on in the Marvel Universe either.
Well, so, Wolverine's about to die.
So the Marvel, the monthly comic, not a huge recommendation from me.
And you're making a good point there. That Guardians of the Galaxy is different than the Guardians we're going to see on the screen. What we're going to see on the screen is the MCU'd version of the Guardians.
Yes.
And the Trial of Jean Grey is a great point. Those Guardians can interact with Jean Grey and the X-Men. Our Guardians on the big screen cannot.
Right.
So there will be some key differences.
There will be, but not.
But I think their characters are going to be essentially the same.
Yeah, and not enough differences to make a difference to me. I like that the X-Men universe is separate from the Avengers universe. We've talked about this before. I'm alone in that, I think, in some regards. But, yeah. So, Wednesday happened, Daniel. Wednesday. And what did they give us on Wednesday?
Well, you tell me, without spoiling, because eventually, you know, I will read these in 9 minutes.
Guardians of the Galaxy, Galaxy's Most Wanted, is a Groot and Rocket Raccoon one-shot. Now, it reminded me of the Free Comic Book Day book that we got that had Groot, or that had Rocket Raccoon in it, where he's just on a quick little adventure. There's been some other things. Well, the second issue of the Guardians of the Galaxy Prelude that ties into the movie is Groot and Rocket on a heist. And it's fun, and it's interesting. And that's the same thing here with Galaxy's Most Wanted. It's by Corona, Pilgrim, and DeVito. No, Andrea DeVito. Writer is Will Corona Pilgrim. The artist is Andrea DeVito. Wow, both of them have two words in their last name, so on the cover it looks like it's both first and last name. But it's a done-in-one thing. You don't have to know anything about the Marvel Universe proper. You can just read it and enjoy it because you're watching a raccoon in a tree do a whole bunch of fighting as they are trying to get through some bounty hunter shenanigans.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. A raccoon in a tree?
Yeah, Groot and Rocket.
Okay, so we really have never really talked about who Groot and Rocket is.
I think we need to, maybe, then.
All right, so let's start with Rocket, because he's going to be the flagship of this franchise.
He pretty much will be. And
he's either going to sink it, or he's going to make it number one.
Now, he makes a point to say he's not a raccoon.
I think okay. He is.
Well, you know, we talk about that a little bit, because there is a miniseries that Rocket Raccoon, when he really became a character. It's a 4-issue miniseries. I can't remember what year exactly it's from, but it's from the 80s. It's been collected in a couple different places. And you read it because of you.
It's from 1985.
Is it from 85? Okay.
It is from 85.
And that 4-issue miniseries, I really, really enjoy. But it's this whole thing where
I never saw you for a drugs guy.
It's a parody, a broad parody. It parodies a whole bunch of different things about corporate America and America's lifestyle and that kind of thing.
Healthcare systems?
Yeah, yes. And it takes place on an animal world. It takes place on a world where there's talking walruses and talking frogs and talking rabbits. In fact, the Rocket Raccoon Free Comic Book Day book that came out, it references a whole bunch of stuff from that miniseries. But anyway, I really enjoy the miniseries. Daniel really did not. So.
Man, it's Bill Mantlo, too. Great writer.
It is. Really good stuff.
Oh, man. So he says he's not a raccoon. This series, to me, firmly emplaces him as being a real raccoon. Now, right. Other things, again, in the Marvel 616 establishes that he's not a raccoon. But this series says he is.
But that miniseries may or may not be part of his backstory. We don't know. And there's another comic book where Rocket Raccoon introduces himself as someone of dubious or questionable backstory. Which is true. Okay. We don't know exactly where he comes from, but he calls himself a raccoonoid instead of a humanoid. Or maybe he doesn't call himself that, but the novel definitely used that word a lot.
So here's what we know about
it. Cybernetic raccoon type anthropomorphic animal.
Criminal?
Yes.
Likes to use guns.
Big, big, big guns.
Bigger the better.
Sometimes and bigger than him.
And then Groot?
Groot is...
Well, would you say Groot and Rocket are best friends?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Groot is Rocket's moral center in a lot of ways, from what I'm observing and as I'm reading and catching up with them, because I knew Groot because I bought a random old comic book before Groot was brought into the Marvel Universe for a bunch of the cosmic stuff. And it was just a short story about invading trees, and I think they used fire, and it's that kind of thing where maybe trees should not try and invade a world of people who have invented fire. Just a thought. But now he comes from a world called Planet X. And from what I understand, everyone on Planet X is named Groot because they all say, "I am Groot." That's all they say. But based on the inflection, you can figure out what he's saying.
True. It's true. He's emotional. He puts you in his place. He is a good guy. Now, another thing that's been established is Groot, even though he seems like Groot the Brute, he's actually really smart.
And gentle.
Like scientifically smart. And when you talk about dubious origins, sometimes he might be some sort of a king thing.
Yeah. And
sometimes.
I'm not sure where they're going to come at that with the movie.
I'm guessing no king thing.
But yeah, so he goes around, and that's why in the trailer he says, "I am Groot." Well, he's probably going to...
Oh, that makes me so mad.
Why?
They shouldn't have shown that in the trailer. They should have saved that for the movie.
He has a mouth. He's going to use it.
He should have just saved it for the movie.
Maybe.
The first time he had said it in the movie, you can't tell me we wouldn't have had fanboy shivers.
Well, I already knew, though, because Vin Diesel, who's playing Groot, Groot's voice anyway, he was talking with the director about how they would write out the line that he's actually saying, and then he would figure out, you know, how am I going to say "I am Groot," and you know, so it's like, "Oh, Daniel, I'm really sorry that happened to you," and then you take it and say, "I am Groot," you know, to give it the emotional resonance of what he's actually saying. I just hope they don't have a lot of "I am Groot." Oh, thanks for saying that you appreciate me, Groot. You know, "I am Groot." Oh, I agree. That is a good plan. We should do blah, 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 where they do a lot of just translating it for us. I hope they just let it lie.
Yeah, they need to let some of those lie.
Because the audience can be smart.
So you got the combined Groot and Rocket. Then you also got a Rocket number one, Rocket Raccoon number one.
Yeah, well, wait, before we get to before we leave this issue, this also has a Thor comic book in the back of it. This was a $3.99 all ages comic, Guardians of the Galaxy, Galaxy's Most Wanted. There's a Thor comic in there that has Drax the Destroyer and some backup and interesting stuff about Drax the Destroyer's background and how he came to be who he was and do what he's doing.
Now, the 616 version.
Yes, the 616 version.
So, this could be minorly spoilery for some of us.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into it too much.
In Marvel 616, he's from a little planet we're familiar with.
Yeah, a planet called
Earth.
Yeah.
Which, you look at Drax, you don't think he's from Earth. But he's actually been embodied with superhuman strength and powers and questionable immortality because he's trying to seek vengeance for the death of his family at the hands of Marvel's, well, one of Marvel's most deadliest villains,
just
Thanos.
Say it. Yeah, Thanos.
Yeah, Thanos. And here's why I'm comfortable saying this. As I look at descriptions of Guardians of the Galaxy, it looks like the Thanos connection is going to be very, very small.
Maybe. Maybe. Between
Drax and Thanos. In Marvel 616, Drax is one of Thanos' greatest opponents. That basically, Drax goes through this cycle of constantly trying to fight Thanos and kill him. Sometimes he does kill Thanos, honestly. But, I mean, that's really what his whole purpose is about, pre-joining up with the Guardians of the Galaxy in 1998, is, you know, he shows up as a check to Thanos.
Now, here's the problem is, well, maybe it's not a problem, but with Guardians of the Galaxy, they have a lot of characters, and there are a lot of unknown characters. And so they're going to have to introduce a lot of backstory just to get us to know who these guys are.
Well, and I think they're going to MCU them.
And so I'm hoping, because, you know, there are other movies that have lots of characters that don't give too much background. I'm thinking of movies like Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Oceans. What's that last one?
13.
Oceans 13. But also The Expendables. You know, and these are team movies that they have a huge cast of characters. It doesn't matter. You know, you're able to, through context clues, pick it up. And I hope Guardians of the Galaxy is able to do that.
I definitely agree.
I hope. So, yeah, I picked up Rocket Raccoon number one, which it's a Rocket Raccoon adventure. It's by Scotty Young. It looks like it's an all-ages book because of the art style. But let me tell you, it's not.
Well, there's a gun on the cover.
It's like most Marvel comics, it's rated T. And it uses a lot of euphemisms. They have fake swears like you have in Battlestar Galactica and other shows like that where they have a fake swearing in it. But there's a lot of an innuendo in this book. I was surprised at that because it does look like a kid's book. If you are... Here's the thing, though. I love the style. I like the style myself. And so while, yeah, it's Tricky Trickster, it's not a kid's book, it's still enjoyable for me because it just has a fun style to it. And there's a lot of energy and there's twists, and it sounds to me like they're kind of getting into some of Rocket's origin story. It's possible. Because, you know, in the trailer, Rocket Raccoon says, "Ain't nobody in the universe like me except me." Well, there's a suggestion in a comic that I read 2 years ago, I think. It was like a prelude leading into the new Guardians of the Galaxy series, where there's a hint that there might be another one like Rocket that someone had seen, but he gets assassinated before he's able to tell Rocket who it was or where it was. And in this book, it's referencing that, and it's going back to that idea that there might be another one like him in the universe. So I do recommend Rocket Raccoon number one, but I also would recommend maybe waiting for the trade on that one to see where it's going.
And then you also picked up another combination, but this was the book.
Well, no. Oh, yeah. The book is a combination of Rocket Raccoon and Groot. This book is so much fun if you like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or Red Dwarf or sci-fi humor novels. And there aren't very many out there that are good. I've read a few that are not good. Okay. But I do enjoy Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, all of them. Even the one that was written by that guy who wrote some young adult fiction, but he wrote a sixth Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is good. It's a fan fiction. If you're reading it as a fan fiction, it's good. This book here, Rocket Raccoon and Groot Steal the Galaxy, might as well be called Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy. It's just funny and goofy, and it features tons of references to the Marvel Universe, but you don't need to know it. In fact, it got to a point where I was just like, any proper noun, it probably is something from the Marvel Universe. But I enjoyed this book a lot, and it's a great introduction to Rocket Raccoon and Groot. And I think that of all the stuff, this is the best introduction to the Guardians of the Galaxy universe that we're going to be seeing on the screen. I really do.
Well, and if I've learned anything, when you recommend to me books, they're Guardians of the Galaxy books. And it's a recommendation that 80% of the time will work for me 100% of the time.
I don't know what you said, but I'm going to take it as a compliment.
Yeah, math is hard.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, this is a good book. I enjoyed it. Introduces... Oh, and Gamora is in there. Or Gamora. Gamora?
I always pronounce it Gamora.
Because Gamora is the turtle. The giant turtle that knocks down Tokyo.
You Godzilla fans.
Gamora is a completely different company. Completely different studio.
Disney's going to buy it eventually.
I would hope so. There's been some really bad... Yeah. So, okay, Gamora. Gamora is in this book as well. And it's interesting because the book... Well, I don't want to give any spoilers away to the book at all. I'm just going to say Gamora is in it. They reference Peter Quill, who is Star-Lord. We'll talk about him in a minute. But it's fun, action, adventure, and comedy. It is a comedy book. It is not just humor. It is jokes, jokes, jokes. But it's that kind of it makes sense in the universe kind of thing. It's like these are observations about this universe, about and there's a space knight who shows up, you know, if you're familiar with ROM Space Knight. And if you know anything about the recorders, do you know anything about the recorders, Daniel?
I know a little bit about the recorders. They've shown up in Iron Man for Marvel now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the recorders, I know about them because of Hercules comics that I used to read. And I love those Hercules comics. Well, the recorder, there's recorders in this, you know, and I'm just like, oh, that's an old friend. You know,
a recorder, by the way, folks, records. It is a robot.
It is an android, a humanoid.
Yeah, robot. It captures as much knowledge as you can possibly gather and store in its data banks, which is a lot. And they're highly desirable to get your hands on because they've got information, and information is power.
That's right. And with the Hercules books that I was reading, one of them gets sent along with Hercules as he travels the galaxy. And it's going to kind of record, you know, his exploits and that kind of thing. Well, with this Guardians of the Galaxy, the recorder is actually the narrator. And I can't help but hearing in my head the voice of Crichton from Red Dwarf. And Rocket Raccoon, I'm hearing everything in a British accent, because it just feels like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's written by Dan Abnett. Now, what do you know about Dan Abnett?
Oh, I love Dan Abnett.
Okay.
Because Dan Abnett, who is a science fiction writer, he wrote the Guardians of the Galaxy 2008 version. He took his turn there, and that, to me, is where the Guardians of the Galaxy really came together. This version of the Guardians of the Galaxy came together.
Yeah, this new team with that's not from the future.
Yeah, so when we look at this movie crew, this movie crew really wasn't put together till 1998, because Abnett wrote during that series. He really knows the Guardians, and he knows them well. And he used them well, and it is a really, really good series.
So now I want to read that series, because I feel like that's where the characterization for Rocket Raccoon and Groot came from.
Well, the good news is it's inside Marvel Unlimited.
Yes, I knew that.
Every issue. Now, when I started reading through them, they didn't have every issue. Now they do. So you are a lucky, lucky man, my friend.
I am.
Gamora, let's jump back to her real quick.
Yeah, she's green.
She's green.
She's played by Lieutenant Uhura.
In Marvel 616, the phrase often used with her is the universe's most dangerous woman.
Deadliest woman in the universe is in the novel. That's what the novel says over and over and over again.
And they mean it. And I do like the current Guardians of the Galaxy number one, because Star-Lord is kind of in a cantina-like scene with his dad. And his dad makes a comment about, like, you're hanging with her, deadliest woman in the galaxy. And he's like, yeah, you're jealous, aren't you?
Yeah.
So how do you become the most deadliest woman in the Marvel 616?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with genetics. Maybe who your father might be.
Well, but the thing is, she's adopted.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. She's an orphan.
Oh.
But she's adopted and raised, you know, nature versus nurture, buddy.
Okay, so not genetics.
Yeah, nurture. Dad's name is Thanos in Marvel 616.
Yeah.
And we do know that there will be some connection to Thanos in the MCU thanks to the Prelude comics. Don't want to spoil that for you.
Well, I'm excited about Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie, for lots of different reasons, but I know that you are excited because it's actually going to push the Thanos thing forward, which you haven't gotten yet in any Phase 2 movie from Marvel.
I've only been beating that drum for 2 years. So the 8 things that I'm asking for is to see Thanos.
I want a warm blanket, a cold drink, and Thanos in Guardians of the Galaxy.
And hey, you mentioned old Guardians of the Galaxy. Can you explain what that is real quick?
Yeah, because the original Guardians of the Galaxy is not a modern team from our time. It's from the future. These are guys who, they are the last humans left on these outside outlying planets. And so every member, this is the gimmick of the original Guardians of the Galaxy, every member of the team is from another planet – colonized by humans. And so you have the people from Jupiter, the colony there. They are all stocky and strong because of the gravity. You have the people from, you know, Venus. They have all these different power bases based on their what planet they're from. And in the future, the world has been taken over by the Badoon. And the Badoon have conquered the Earth, and now the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to come to Earth and take it back. And that's your first basic main story arc. They end up getting a spaceship that looks a lot like the Starship Enterprise. They name it the Captain America.
I was going to say, and it's the good ship Captain America.
Yeah, they name it the Captain America because Vance Astro, who is the one character from our time, he was on a slower-than-light ship going to another world. And by the time he gets there, it's 2,000 years later. And
they're like, hey, Vance.
We invented faster-than-light travel. How you doing, man? We got here first. Oh.
We've been waiting for you. Can't bother to stop me.
So he's wearing a suit that he can't take off because if he does, his body will, you know, crumble to dust. And he is the leader of the Guardians of the Galaxy because he's going to go back to Earth, and he assembles the team. They fight the Badoon. They cross over with Thor and the Thing and Captain America, and they help. And after they've done that, they have the Captain America spaceship that they get in, and they're going to explore the galaxy. And so it becomes Marvel superheroes of the future doing the Star Trek thing.
And so one of the things that's always confused me is when they talk about, you know, this popular group. The thing is the Guardians of the Galaxy is a name has been around since 1969.
Yeah.
But this iteration that we're going to see in the MCU has only been around for just a little while.
Well, and so here's the other thing. This group of characters, the Guardians of the Galaxy, they were around from 69 and through the 70s. And they weren't able to really keep their own title going. So they ended up being backup characters. And so they showed up in the Avengers for a while. Basically, they were brought back to the present day to do a whole bunch of guest starring parts in Avengers. Marvel 2-in-1 with the Thing. And
do you know what happened after 2008? Vance Astro and some other members of the Guardians of the Galaxy, they showed up as background characters in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, and they're supposed to be coming back in a big way in the monthly series. But here's what happened, though. After 1980, they appeared on one page between 1980 and 1990. They were in one panel of one page in the Sensational She-Hulk number 6. Which also happened to star Roadhog, I think his name is, and US-1, who was traveling in his space truck. Because US-1 is the trucker comic that I believe it went 12 issues or something like that. But anyway, so that's that old team, and it really did not catch on. In 1990, they started a new series, and I did read that when I was, you know, I think 20 years ago. And the new series was just them going on, you know, it was cosmic adventures and it was back in the future.
And none of that is in Marvel Unlimited.
Right, which I'm amazed. But they really want to focus on this newer team, this team from, what was 98 that you said?
Yep.
1998. And so.
But you know, as you said, you know, some of these characters are coming back, we believe, in Marvel 616 again. You have mentioned the possibility of Vance Astro showing back up in Guardians of the Galaxy. But well, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
we're going to get
Yondu. So the Marvel 616 version of Yondu is that he is a Guardian of the Galaxy
in the future,
a primitive from Centauri 4, who's the Hawkeye of the group.
Yeah, he does bow and arrow. And his arrows are controlled by his whistle. So he whistles when he shoots the arrow. He has a huge, crazy mohawk that if you've seen any publicity pictures or set pictures, rather, of the guy playing Yondu in the movie, I think he's blue and bald.
this mohawk that he has in the comics, they're going to have to add it with CGI if they're going to add it at all.
It's going to be there.
But, yeah, it's crazy.
And I'm guessing that he's not going to be from the future.
Probably not. He doesn't have to be. I mean, the character itself is just from another world. He's played by the guy who was on he's on Walking Dead. Why can't I should have written down names, but I didn't. And I can't remember them. So
it's Michael Rooker, right?
Sure. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Sounds right. Know. So yeah, that's Yondu, and that's kind of the background of the Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'm telling you right now, that novel, recommended. Recommended if you like that kind of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Red Dwarf type of sci-fi.
Again, I'm planning on buying it and reading it. I just want a digital copy. But wait a minute.
What?
We forgot one of your comics.
We did. Star-Lord. Legendary Star-Lord is the name of the book, but Star-Lord is a cool character, and there's a collection of his old comics that's coming out that I'm very excited, called Star-Lord, Guardian of the Galaxy, because that's what he was. But it collects his adventures from some of the old black and white Marvel magazines, Marvel Super Special, Marvel Spotlight, Marvel Premiere, and Marvel Preview. And then there was a 3-issue miniseries in the 90s that it collects called just Star-Lord. In those books, it was really, again, just kind of that pulpy sci-fi superhero kind of thing, but he has a sentient spaceship that he travels with and has powers, and he aliens killed his mother, so he wants to get revenge, so he becomes an astronaut and kind of becomes a Buck Rogers type guy traveling the galaxy looking for people to help and that kind of thing. And it's this old stuff is fun old comics. If you like classic sci-fi comic book stuff, they're great. The new character, the new version of the character, of course, they're making him look more like the movie, and they're kind of de-aging him a little bit with the Marvel Now that they did.
Go Zac Efron!
but he's got that same kind of thing. His origin story is that the king of the Spartax...
Yep.
Spartax.
Better you than me, brother.
the Spartax kingdom, empire.
It's more than one planet.
Went to Earth, met Peter Quill's mother, impregnated Peter Quill's mother, and then left Peter Quill's mother because he had an empire to run. And so he and Peter Quill have this relationship, and it's actually good for him because there are times when that gets him out of a tight spot, is that he, his dad is the empire or the emperor basically of a space empire.
And he's considered not just a prince, but is not Star-Lord actually part of his title?
Star-Lord comes from his title as the
Prince of Spartax.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I don't think we're getting that though with this.
I'm really curious. We do get that he has like the Walkman. And so he has these things from his past in Earth. So I'm very curious how that ties in. And I'm wondering if it's more that he was, his mother was taken into space, by his father instead of his mother is left by his father. And maybe she died when he was young in space or something. I don't know.
I just don't think Star-Lord... based on what we're seeing in the previews, I don't think Star-Lord is going to be a title that is inherited. I think Star-Lord is, in the MCU, going to be a title that he gives himself.
That's a possibility. I mean, it sounds like they gave themselves that name, the Guardians of the Galaxy, too.
Yeah. Well, they kind of give themselves that name in the 2008 series, too. But it's kind of hilarious because at one point, Vance Astro's there, and he's like, yeah, it's a good name for a group. But yeah, that's Star-Lord. I mean, he's an Earther. He's, what would we do if we were to be picked up as a kid and thrown into space?
Yeah.
Maybe become a little Han Solo-ish?
Maybe. So, Star-Lord, the comic, it's pretty good.
It's nothing spectacular necessarily, but what's nice about it is, again, it's accessible. And that's the problem. That's so often the problem with comic books, is that they aren't accessible to new readers. And when you have a movie coming out, you have to have books that are accessible to new readers. Not that you're going to get, you know, as many tickets that are sold. Those are not comic book sales too, you know. But have these books available to them. And so the novel is great. I don't think it's being marketed to your average, you know, your person who would be interested in the movie. I'm not sure how well they're marketing the novel, but boy, oh boy, it's a good novel. And the comic itself, the unfortunate thing with the comic is it's based on a whole bunch of back issues. So to have these new Rocket Raccoon comics and have the new Star-Lord comics, it's good stuff. It's good to have. And I'm enjoying the one-shots and the stuff that doesn't require me to know everything about their past and history. So
can we run through villains really quick?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so there's Ronan. He judges. Looks like he's going to be pretty bad in the movie. There's Nebula. She's a space pirate in the comics. Linked to Thanos. She looks like she's going to be like kind of an assassin piratey sort of thing in the movie. And then there's the Collector. In the comics, he collects. We've already met him in the MCU. Looks like he collects.
Yes.
Yep. We're done.
Okay.
No, we have some supporting characters we need to talk about real quick.
Okay.
The Nova Corps.
Ah, yes. The Nova Corps. Basically, think the Green Lantern Corps. Only instead of rings, they just have power. Right?
And they've got helmets. They have distinctive helmets.
Okay.
That allow them to do things like fly and have their costumes come on. Yeah. Yeah. And Nova's got probably a more distinguished career in Marvel comic history, wouldn't you say, the Nova Corps, than the Guardians do?
Yes, because
they've sold more books.
I think one of the problems against Guardians of the Galaxy from the beginning was that it was a future book, but it took place in a future that wasn't necessarily going to happen. And so with Nova, he had his own book for I think maybe 18 to 20 issues, something like that, back in the late 70s, around in there, I think. But then he also showed up in the teen team with Speedball and some of those guys. What was that book called?
New Warriors?
Yeah, New Warriors.
And they're trying to resurrect New Warriors right now with the current Nova.
Yeah, and so and the other thing was Nova tended to be a adolescent power fantasy, where it was a kid who had this helmet, and so he's kind of that Spider-Man, Peter Parker feeling, where he's a kid, but he has to do the stuff with the power that he has, and so he's out, you know, fighting bad guys and stuff like that.
Well, and that's really what it's become right now, because Sam Alexander, the current Nova from Earth, because just like the Green Lantern Corps, there's Novas from Earth, there's Novas from all sorts of planets, and just like the Green Lantern Corps, there's more than one from Earth. The current one from Earth is Sam Alexander. You can see him every Sunday morning on Disney XD on Ultimate Spider-Man. He's currently the featured Nova in the current Nova comic. And he's also, just as a side note, he's also inspired by the late son of Jeff Loeb, who is one of our creative forces behind Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so you say he has a more distinguished history in the Marvel Universe? Definitely. The Nova Corps has been around and has been featured, and by just simply being in the cartoon, that's huge. Although there's going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon. I'm curious about how that's going to work. But, yeah.
I don't know.
So the Nova Corps definitely plays into Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie, judging by the trailers.
Yeah. And there's one other villain that we left out, which is Thanos, which we've mentioned several times. Because apparently Josh Brolin's going to voice Thanos.
He is. Great voice. And
Tommy Lee Jones apparently was not available. So, Ben, are you excited about Guardians of the Galaxy?
I sure am. I am more excited. I was already excited. I am now more excited because of what I read on Wednesday.
And I will say, I am excited. I am a big believer that this is a risky MCU movie. And this movie is either going to be a fantastic smash, the next generation's version of Star Wars and kicking off a franchise where we're going to see at least three Guardians movies, or it's going to fizzle and begin to let out a little steam?
I think it's going to be somewhere in between there, because it's already part of the franchise that is this generation's Star Wars. It's a part of the Marvel franchise, the Marvel movies. And I think we're going to see elements of Guardians of the Galaxy, this movie, no matter what, they're going to be showing up all over the place in other Marvel movies and on our TV show. Maybe not in Agent Carter, but then again, maybe.
Maybe.
So I...
Yes, less than a month away.
Yes.
It's giving you a high five through the mic right now.
I don't really do high fives.
I know you don't. That's why I force those on you.
Yeah.
Stop moving. Stop it.
It's not going to work.
Take the high five and walk away, bud.
I'm not taking your high five. All right. Well, I think we need to end this here. Do you want to go into our feedback?
Do it. Let's go.
All right. Let's do it.
Shield Field Report.
We got a message from Agent Teal.
The subject. We're going to be jealous, aren't we? I'm going to be jealous, aren't I?
Yeah. The subject is Guardians IMAX preview. Ugh. Message. I saw the Guardians preview today and can report it looks pretty good. It started with the intros that we've all seen in the trailers, a bit extended. Teal says, the middle finger not censored. And I'm going to say, so the middle finger actually was extended. Because, you know, because she said, or he said, a little bit extended. And I said, middle finger is extended. Anyway, follows him into prison. That's where majority of the footage was from. Don't want to spoil anything. Not that there was much to spoil, but the rapport between the team is evident from the get-go. Following that, it was basically an extended sizzle reel. Then it was over before I even knew it began, and it didn't feel like 17 minutes. So, yes. Again, I'm jealous. I wish I had seen it. Wish I had the opportunity. I'm okay with it.
You know what I find interesting? I don't want to say they're giving a lot of the movie away,
mm-hmm.
but I've heard that what was played for this preview is different than what's being played in Disneyland. And Walt Disney World. It sounds like what you're getting in a Disney park is the scene where that we've seen in the previews with him stealing the artifact. Because a lot of people are walking away saying it really felt like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Ah, interesting.
Which I think is a good compliment.
We had someone send us some possible spoilers. This is from Agent Scott.
No.
Just allow me. Allow me. He sent a link to some rumors about some possible plans for Hulk. And I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to read anything from this. And, you know, the other thing is this. Well, I'm not going to say anything about what he's saying. All right. But he says this. If this is really what Marvel has planned for post Age of Ultron, all I can say is sign me up. Okay? I love this idea, and having spoiler has me just smiling thinking about it. I will tell you some key words for you if you want to find this is to look up Hulk Age of Ultron spoilers. Okay? I found it. It was on HitFix where I think I was sent that link originally. He sent us a link from Blaster. And so I will say there are some potential spoilers out there. It is rumors and it is interesting. So there's that. And then we also had Agent Anthony, who sent something in about the X-Men Days of Future Past back in February? That can't be right. Oh, no. He says
you
this.
You and math.
Just a quick observation from X-Men. If all the other X-Men films led to this future, talking about the future at the beginning of Days of Future Past, then why was there no Sentinels in any of the other movies? They were created in the 70s. And this Agent Anthony is where, in classic Marvel situations, you would give your explanation. You bring the question up, give your explanation, and then Marvel would send you a no prize, which is an empty envelope. We don't even send the envelope. That's how hardcore we are about our right. no prizes.
Are we going to give it?
But I would say that it is quite possible that there were Sentinels between movies, because if you remember in the third X-Men movie, in the Danger Room, they had fake Sentinels. And so if they had fake Sentinels in the Danger Room as a program for them to practice against, it would suggest to me that there actually were Sentinels in there.
I get the rules now.
What?
Ben, I'm going to do it.
Do what?
It's not coming in your mail, Ben. You just gave me an explanation and retconned it.
Yeah.
You're the know what prize winner of the day.
You can't do that.
The no prize winner of the day.
I don't know if that's
okay. We don't have to do that.
Well, the sounder was played.
I was concerned you weren't going to give it to him. And then I figured out why. He didn't give the explanation, which, as you pointed out, was what Marvel would have you do.
No. I was just saying in Marvel that's what they do. But I'm – you know, for us, it's something that is above and beyond, or something that just makes us, you know, hit our heads like, whoa, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So anyway, that's my explanation of why with them being created in the 70s. Also – going into the movie, there's a little bit of a spoiler here, but things that happened in the 70s in one timeline didn't allow them to start production of them as early as they do in another timeline. So that's all I'm going to say about that, though. Okay. And then we have Agent Coleman, who has a crazy thought. First of all, I'd like to start out by saying I was one of those persons. I watched the first several episodes of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then stopped. Not because I was disappointed in the show, but because I didn't want to get burned like I have in years past, with freshman shows getting canceled. I continued to see commercials for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. while watching Once Upon a Time with my daughter. Eventually, I think it was somewhere around the ad for Trax that I finally caved in and thought, I want to catch up. I purchased all the episodes for my Kindle Fire and had a great time catching up. I'm the type of person who I think Marvel is aiming for. Prior to this, I'd only watched Thor, Captain America, and the Avengers. I'm a casual viewer. Until watching Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I would never actually have gone to the theater to see The Winter Soldier, but because of the show, I did. I loved it. I have to say it's one of my favorites so far. I've gone back and watched the Iron Man 1 to 3 and The Incredible Hulk. I've even, gasp, bought my first few comic books and can't wait for Agent Carter.
Welcome to the dark side.
My crazy thought has come from something said in the roundtable discussion. Something about the Earth being the center of the universe and that perhaps there are portals from Earth to where the various items such as the ether are hidden. Then it hit me. What if the map that Coulson and Garrett have drawn on the chalkboard showed where those portals are? Just an odd thought, and I wanted to share. Thanks for the show. You guys are the best. I just started getting into podcasts for my evening walks, and of all the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcasts out there, you're the only ones that I enjoy waiting for each week. So we appreciate your comments, Agent Coleman. And
I'm devastated.
What?
Because that's a brilliant expansion of that idea that I threw out. Brilliant expansion.
Well, you know, we talked about that, and we talked about Man-Thing being, you know, tied into that, but yeah. The map that Coulson and Garrett have drawn on the chalkboard show where the portals are. That could be an interesting idea.
And then you take in a rumor that I've heard that says that Coulson's definitely not in two. And then you throw in some pieces and like, that's really actually, that could happen. I'm like drawing a map over here with a nail
on glass.
On glass. Yeah, and, yeah. And it's got agents, it's got Age of Ultron, and it's got whatever the new word is for Avengers 3, the joy of life, and then that could happen. It could happen. It's not a crazy idea, and we love crazy.
All right, Agent Mark Amargo wrote in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan letter, my two theories for next season. He says, during my summer season 1 rewatch, I found two theories that may reveal themselves in season two. My first theory I have is that Edison Poe is the mysterious man that Raina goes to see and states, "I found your daughter," at the tag scene in the finale. My second theory is that Agent May lost her husband in the battle at Bahrain. Bahrain? I'm saying it wrong, I'm sure. Theory number one. Edison Poe is Skye's father. My assertion is derived from clues in episode 11, The Magical Place, and the final episode 22, Beginning of the End. In order for my theory to be correct, we have to assume that in episode 11, the device that Poe was targeted with via cell phone was, in fact, the same sonic device technology that Obadiah Stane uses in the first Iron Man film. In both instances of use in Iron Man, the sonic device only incapacitated the victims. Therefore, I believe Poe did survive and was whisked away before the arrival of Coulson's rescue team. Even if the sonic device was redesigned to kill, Poe may not be of this world, resulting in only wounding, disfiguring him. In the tag scene of the finale, the silhouette of the man Raina goes to meet reveals the left side of the man's head as misshapen. This may be shadows of the quick cut of the scene or the result of the disfiguring effects of the sonic device. Raina even states, "You probably didn't expect to see me again," which I think she is alluding to her betrayal and siding with the clairvoyant. Even the sitting in solitude moment of the finale tag reminds me of Poe, in which he was always depicted in earlier episodes alone, eating a meal. In the tag scene, Skye's father has his back toward us, which makes me think he is dining. Probably on something extra bloody, hence the trippy hand. Also, if my theory is correct, it would also explain my question on who was behind Aquila Amador's transformation and mission to get intelligence on the alien symbols in Episode 4, I Spy. Amador's mission was pre-clairvoyant saga and may have been the motivation of Poe / Skye's father and his underworld organization. Anything about that?
Maybe he's bleeding from the ears. I don't think it's Poe, though.
I agree. I don't think that it's Poe. But everything he says...
But I have no proof or evidence.
Well, that's the thing. He had a lot of proof or evidence that if it was Poe, it's not out of left field. There is a lot of things that could point to that. Theory number two. May's husband was killed during her cavalry charge at the Bahrain mission. Quote, "I was married once," unquote. May states during her interrogation by Eric Koenig in the Providence episode. As I watch episode 9, Repairs, May's plea to Tobias Ford in the barn scene was about letting go to someone you love. At the end of that scene, Agent May responds to Coulson's question of what did you say with the same words you said to me in Bahrain. This leads me to believe the reason why Agent May vehemently doesn't want to be referred to as the cavalry is because she was unable to save the person she loves, her husband. Coulson's words of letting go is what saved her sanity that day in Bahrain. Okay, well, thank you, Agent Mark. That is actually some really, really good sleuthing and interpretation. I like it a lot. One more from Agent Rico. This is going back to the roundtable. He said, "So I heard the roundtable and I have something else for Fitz as we enter next season. He's in a wheelchair and he's had antegrade amnesia. And the last thing he remembers is being in the cube with Simmons and experiences a panic attack whenever she's not around, thinking he failed in saving her. Bit of a stretch, but I wanted to get in on the Fitz torture train." So we're not torturing him.
Hey, and he's so muscular.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, never mind.
Well, it looks like we have more feedback than that.
Well, maybe we need to save it for the Hulk.
Maybe. Yeah, I think we'll save it for the Hulk. We do have some feedback that goes back a little bit further, but since all of these things have to do with last season, I think that it'll be okay if we save these. Because we have some stuff from Agent Pete, Agent Michael, Agent William. So
this is called foreshadowing.
Yeah. So next episode, unless something goes wrong, we'll be talking
or
about
something them. Really awesome
or
happens.
Or something goes like, right like this.
Yeah,
like
this book, is what man, happened this week. Something went right. We're working on Hulk. We've talked about Hulk. This episode almost was Hulk.
Yes.
We literally, as we sat down, decided to go with this one instead of Hulk. And I'm kind of excited about it because I want to watch a little bit more Hulk.
Yeah. This one was two guys sitting down talking about comics. but next time it'll be two guys sitting down talking about television from when we were little kids. Agent Daniel.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say goodbye to everyone and to you. So thank you for listening, everyone. And goodbye. Daniel, you have any words of wisdom for anyone?
I don't know if I've got wisdom, but, you know, I can be a little cocky sometimes about how good we are. It's because of our listeners. They make me feel too good, too confident. And so when I think about how good this episode is, talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, all I can think to myself is raise my hands up high and say, blam, murdered ya.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Level 7. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-77-55, the word level, and then the number 7. That's 1-775-553-8357. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. 7 is spelled out. Follow us on Twitter, where we are level7pod. 7 is spelled out. Or email us directly, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. 7 is spelled out. Visit our website, welcometolevel7.com, for news, reviews, and links to our RSS feeds. Our theme music is The Light Fantastic by J.S. Earls, jserls.bandcamp.com. And again, thanks for listening.
I just have to say, Daniel, I hate that line.
I do too.
I don't like that he says that. That's the one bad thing about the Guardians of the Galaxy is that they're criminals and do act like it often.
Turn the mic back on.
What?
Turn the mic back on.
It is on.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, give me a second.
What?
Oh, do you want to build a snowman?
What's going on? I think we need to not sing.
Ben.
What?
That's it. You can attack me. You can call me names. But no one touches my blaster.
What, are you redoing the end?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't need to redo the end.
Oh, how about, I have a theory. We shouldn't have come here. Ever.
Okay. You know what I would have gone with?
What would you have gone with?
I am Groot. But, you know, this is a family podcast, so.
Yeah. I did. We have to bleep it.
We would.
We'd be like, wow.
You'd be like, oh my goodness, he said that?
I started to sweat.
Yeah, maybe I should have said, I am Groot.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah, I think our listeners would appreciate that. But it wasn't my quote. It was yours.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Because obviously I'm stealing these from the internet. Here's one to Thor. You're just a Beta Ray Bill knockoff.
That's funny. That's really funny.
I'm telling you, Rocket is either going to be the best or the worst. Got any of those armors in raccoon size?
In the novel, he says... He says, we're trapped out here like sitting Howards.
Oh, my Lord. In battle. Okay. Here's one. Fail, Hydra.
Ooh, that's good.
Or, because you know I love that for that last volume of Secret Avengers because of all the AIM shield stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You aim, I fire.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
One more. Credit.
How about one more?
Yeah.
To Deadpool. Do you write your own material?
That's what I say to him too.
Come on, go out to Cyclops. Sheesh, you're high strung.
Yeah, no, in the Trial of Jean Grey, he has some fun lines that he says to them.
Oh, man. So. This is good stuff. Okay.
All right, later, man.
The thing. I'm Rocky. You're Rocky. We get it.
Welcome to Level 7 is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx. Learn how to podcast, get productive in your personal and professional life, theorize over TV shows like Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, Under the Dome, and of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Laugh with our clean comedy, delve into science fiction and philosophy, learn critical thinking from movie reviews, and more at noodle.mx.
It's a magical place.